There, testing 1, 2, 3, yes. Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much that you have given us the victory. We thank you that we have the gospel and that we have heard it. Somebody taught it to us. Somebody told us about you and we have believed. And Father, we just pray that we will be faithful in taking it to others. And we pray that each person here will take every open door, that they will walk through take every opportunity and walk through every open door you put before them, so that they will be faithful to your calling. We thank you for the grace that we've had, and we just pray that as we get prepared to teach kids, that we'll be faithful with that as well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, you know, I'm going to give you a little bit different context than what we've had before. When we teach kids, we frequently are teaching kids who don't go to church. When I was working in Child Evangelism Fellowship, we were teaching kids who don't go to church. When we teach a Bible club in the schools, we're teaching kids who don't go to church. So when you think about it, you teach a child, maybe it's a neighborhood child, and you teach them the wordless book. Can you be sure they're going to go to church? Does that mean it doesn't matter? No, it does matter. So you've heard the saying, have you got milk? Right? You've seen that on TV, right? Milk's good for your body. Milk is, they promote milk is good for you, right? Matter of fact, a baby only drinks milk. Now, it's usually formula. It's an enhanced milk, or it's mother's milk. But we, the Bible says, as new in 1 Timothy 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Well, according to the Bible, according to Jesus, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of God. By every word of God. The children, after they have received Jesus Christ as their Savior, they need to grow. And that takes us to the green page. When you have shared... I'm sorry, let me do a review first. You've gone through the gold page. You've talked about God and His love. Right? You've shared the gospel. You've linked to the dark page. You've talked about sin and how we are sinners. And the child has admitted that he's a sinner, separated from God. You've defined sin for him. You've gone through all this stuff. You've gotten through it. You went to the clean, he answered the question correctly that he's a sinner. And then you took him to the red page. And you told him, now notice these links. You need to memorize, by the way, on the front of your book, in the front of your book, the very first page, there is a link. There is a chart that has each one of the pages. It has the important information you need to include on every page. It has the link from one page to the next. One of the things I'm going to tell you that's just kind of going to blow your mind, if you listen to me give the wordless book, it's not the same as when Karen does it. Have you noticed that? When I give you an example of the wordless book, it's not the same as when Karen does it. And when you give the wordless book, it's not going to be the same as when I do it. But those things on that chart must be there. You can fill it with your own life stories. You can fill it with your own examples. You can make it personal. I'm not just saying you can do it personal. I'm saying make it personal. You make it personal. When you share the wordless book, it should be your story of your salvation blended with His story. What we have given you in that chart is the part that is His story. His story. It must be there. So, when you go through this, you're going to have done it differently, but these links are the links that you should use. They work well. Now, could you use a different link? Yes. If you come up with a better link, fine, use it. But don't flounder. We're giving you the link from page to page so you don't flounder. You don't want to lose the kids' attention when you go from the dark page to the red page, from the red page to the clean page. Okay, so I link from the dark page to the red page, and of course on the red page I talk about Jesus, who he is. He is God. I talk about what he has done for them. I talk about how he died on the cross. I want to make it clear to them that he was not forced, that he chose to die for them. Why is that important? Somebody tell me why. Why is it important that the kids know that Jesus chose? You know, I like to say it this way. I say, Jesus was not a martyr. He's a volunteer. A martyr is taken against his will. Jesus loved them, and he chose to die for them. Nobody took... If they took Jesus and killed him, then he is powerless. He is not all-powerful God. If man can force Jesus to die on the cross, then he is not in control and he is not God. That's not what happened. What happened is he died on that cross because he knew. You know, I'm going to give you this a quick one. I love this one. My daughter made a plaque for me and gave it to me for Christmas. And all it said on that plaque has a picture of the cross. All it said on that plaque is the nails did not hold him on the cross. The nails did not hold him on the cross. What held him on the cross is the fact that he knew the only way my sins can be forgiven is if he stays on that cross. He could have at any moment said enough and come down from that cross and killed everybody there. But see, he knew that if he didn't stay there, I can't be forgiven. That's what I teach the kids. Jesus was not a martyr. He chose to die for them. But great news is, not only did he die, not only was he buried, but he rose again. And you tell that to them, right? In your own way, but you tell it to them. And so you've done the red page. You've gone through all those verses. And I'm doing it fast here because I'm trying to catch up, right? This is review for you. Now, when you go to link from the red page to the red page to the clean page, it's important to make that link properly. So we have the link for you, right? Because of what Jesus did, you can have your sins forgiven. We go through that. And we get to the clean page. Now, on the clean page, you carefully, as Karen instructed you, you carefully went through and you made sure that child understood. Something that happened back in the, I don't know when it happened, but way back when I was a child, everybody thought if you pray the prayer, then you are saved. If you walk the aisle and pray the prayer, then you are saved. It became a ritual. Some churches said, if you are baptized, then you are saved. That is not true. If you are saved, God has changed your heart. If your heart is not changed, I don't care what ritual you went through, you're not saved. You are not trying to get this kid to do a ritual. You don't have a formula. The ABC is not a formula. So you have carefully asked questions and made sure that he really believed what he needed to believe. He really committed his life to Jesus. He really asked Jesus to come into his heart. Now, I like to use this illustration. I'm not saying you have to. My favorite way of describing salvation to the kids, and I'm giving this to you, you might want to write it down. It's not in your notes. I say to the kids, every time I want to know, every time I want to identify salvation to the kids, I say, have you ever asked Jesus to come into your life, forgive your sin, and make you clean on the inside? Notice there's nothing in there about praying a prayer, walking an aisle, doing any ritual. But it's all about the heart. Have you ever asked Jesus to come into your life, forgive your sin, and make you clean on the inside? I say that many times during any given lesson, because every time I want to distinguish between the kids who are saved and the kids who aren't, that's what I say. If you have never asked Jesus to come into your life, forgive your sin, make you clean the inside, then you need to. You need to have a short way of defining to the kid what it means to be saved. You don't want to go through a 20, 30-minute description in order to do that. You got to have something you can say real quick. So you went through, you asked all those questions, you made sure that they had assurance. They know that having received Jesus as their Savior, they're not on their own. You went through the, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Jesus is my helper. Oh, by the way, if Jesus is their helper, and you get, well, actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. Never mind. So you go through, I will never leave you. Come on, you. You. There we go. And then you go to the other one. Jesus is my, the Lord is my helper. All right, you've gone through that. You just finished that. I'm trying to get you back to where you were, right? We had 10 minutes to forget where we were at. This is what you've already done. You've already gone through all this stuff. This kid's got it fresh in his mind. And now you make the link and you say that, now, what is that link? When you become God's child, He wants you to grow to know Him better, right? He wants you to grow. And by the way, that's why we have green page. When you go out to the grass, you water the grass. Now, in California, this is especially important. If you water the grass, it is what color? Growing grass is green. You mow the grass or you don't water the grass, what color? Brown, right? Or beige or whatever, right? Okay, so we have this book. Growing, living things are green quite often. You know, evergreen trees if you're in Seattle area. No matter where you are, there's stuff that's green. Growing green. And we say to the child, this is green because you need to grow. You don't become instantly Mr. Perfect, right? You need to grow. So I explained to the child that he needs to grow. And that's on the green page. The first thing I need to do is teach confession of sin. Now, this is the way I say it. Karen says it differently. But I say it this way for a reason. I say to the child, now that you've received Jesus as your Savior, are you ever going to sin again? Are you ever going to sin again? What would you say if I asked you that question? Yes. Well, if you were a kid, you'd say no. Now, this is, I'm glad you said that. Because when those kids say no, I don't say yes, you will. Because Jesus has given us victory. He might not take that victory, but Jesus has given us victory. So I don't say to the kid, yes, you will. I say, if you do, what are you going to do? Now, if the kid says yes, I say, when you do, or if you do, what are you going to do? Do you see? I don't ever say to any child, God doesn't have the power to help you overcome sin. What, doesn't that contradict what I just taught him 5 minutes ago? Less than 5 minutes ago? Doesn't that contradict Hebrews chapter 13, what is it? God is my helper. Does that say I'm going to sin again? Not if I trust the Lord. It's only when I decide to do it on my own that I sin again. Okay? So I'm not going to teach the kids it's inevitable. Yeah, 13:5. Hebrews 13:5. So I tell the kids, I say, if you sin again, and when the kid says, I will sin again, I say, well, if you sin again, what are you going to do? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, by the way, an awful lot of Christians fall short on that verse. In adult service, we quite often teach that verse wrong. We quite often teach that verse wrong. It doesn't say shall forgive your sins, period. It says, and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Jesus comes into my heart, forgives my sin, and makes me clean on the inside. You see why my definition is so, I like my definition, or I'm so attached to it. So I tell the kid, you don't have to ask, remember Hebrews 13:5? You don't have to ask Jesus to come back into your life. He never left. You just ask him to forgive your sin and make you clean on the inside again. John chapter. Now, what does it mean to confess? To confess means to tell on yourself. You agree with God that what you did was wrong. Same process, but not the same meaning of trusting, admitting, you know, the ABC. But it's instead of asking Jesus to come into my life, I've already done that. I don't have to do that. I just ask him to forgive my sin and make me clean on the inside. Now I need to teach them to grow. By the way, we have a discipleship program at Life Lutheran that we're establishing using exactly this principle. G-R-O-W. There are 6 disciplines as an adult. If you learn and live and do those 6 disciplines, you'll be a strong Christian all your life. Now, we're given to the kids 4 of those 6 disciplines. The same disciplines. Children can be discipled and strong Christians. Matter of fact, I've seen a lot of children that are stronger Christians than their parents. Children, because their faith. What did Jesus say? Did he say adults, kids need to become like adults, or adults need to become like kids? Where did we get that reversed? Right? Jesus said to his disciples over and over again, unless you become like a child, and we sit there and say, well, kids can't be all that serious. Oh, kids can't understand the kingdom of God. Jesus says, you got it backwards, guys. You got it backwards. It's not kids can't understand, it's you need to become like them. So why not teach them to be like they should be? Forget about telling them they can't. So number 1 is go to church or Sunday school or some place where you're going to hear about Jesus. Now I say or some place because again, if you're in a school, if you're in a public school, I had 2 twins. Remember that story I told about the 2 boys that never sinned? 2 weeks later they came back, they had sinned, right? Those 2 boys were from a Catholic home. They're not going to go to church. Their church or Sunday school isn't going to teach them much about Jesus. I can't say to those 2 boys, go to the local Protestant church. They're going home. They're going to go with their mom to church. Now, they started going to that Catholic church, and the priest in that Catholic church came to that mother and said, are you teaching your boys Bible? Now, being a good Catholic, she says, oh, no, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't presume to do that. And he said, well, whoever is doing an awful good job. He said, whoever's teaching your boys, somebody's teaching your kids Bible, and whoever's teaching them is doing a really good job. And she thought to herself, well, I wonder if that Bible class they go to on Wednesday nights is doing that. I've always gotten a kick out of that. I wonder if that Bible class they're going to on Wednesday night. Yeah, gee, that might be what we're doing, all right. Right? So she goes to the boys, and it turned out those boys were coming home from their Bible, from that Good News Club, every afternoon, they'd go into their bedroom and they would read the next lesson for the next week. They would memorize the verse and they would have a 1 hour Bible study every Wednesday after they got home from club, just the two of them together. 2 years later, they sent via their younger sister a message to me saying, "Mr. Shreve, we're still studying Bible." And their fellowship, their go-to-church, was to get together, the two of them, in their bedroom and have a Bible study. It doesn't have to be a church service. But you need to get some. They need to go somewhere where they're going to fellowship with other Christians. It could be Wednesday night. Second, R. G-R. R is read the Bible every day. Now, for adults, I say read the Bible 2 chapters every day. The Bible is to your soul what food is to your body. Jesus said so. Now, the thing I say to the kids, how long will you have your soul? Somebody tell me. How long will you have your soul? How long are you going to have your soul? Anybody? Do any of you know? Forever. How long do you hope to have your body? Now, for the kids, I say 100 years. And they go, yeah. Hope so, right? Which is more important, your soul or your body? You only have your body for 100 years. You have your soul forever. Why do you starve your soul and feed your body? I teach the kids, read the Bible every day. Now, for the kids, they can't tackle 2 chapters. I know they can't tackle 2 chapters. So this is what I tell them. For how many years have you lived? For every year you have lived, you should read at least one verse for every year. So if you're 6 years old, read 6 verses. If you're 8 years old, read 8 verses. If you're 60 years old, okay, you got more reading to do. No, don't drop to zero. Never drop to zero. That's what I say, 2 chapters, right? Okay, but read the Bible every day. They need to be, and by the way, not the same 8 verses. It should be more reading through the Bible at that rate. Read the Bible every day. It is food for your soul. It is food for their soul as well. Yes? Well, of course, except for one thing. I would say read it while you're listening. By the way, I do that. I have the Bible app on my phone, and I will have it read to me, especially when I'm doing the ones with the big words, you know, the ones I can't pronounce. I'll have it read to me, but I'm reading along with the reading. I do think you need to read it, actually, not just hear it. So that's better. Actually, because if I'm hearing it and seeing it, I've got more, and we'll get into that later in a later session, but yeah, it's even better to have it read to you while you're reading. That's even better. Okay? And I can carry my Bible. Now, what are the things, by the way, this is kind of off topic outside my lesson plan, but where I started to really grow as a Christian is, now this is back before the day of cell phones, I'm kind of dating myself, but I got a little pocket white New Testament, white pocket-sized white New Testament, and I started reading 2 chapters a day, all day long. That is, I'd read the Bible all day long whenever I was bored or was waiting for the bus or waiting for class to start. Whatever it was, I would read my Bible. And if I did not get 2 chapters done by bedtime, I would finish 2 chapters. Most of the time I had more than 2 chapters. Now, the challenge I give the kids is this. Pick a meal. And this is a challenge for you as well. This is part of discipleship. You pick a meal, any meal, I don't care, breakfast, lunch, supper. Pick any meal you want. and you make a covenant with God, not me, with God, that when you get, by the time you get to that meal, you will have read two chapters. Now, with the kids, I said, read your verses, right? So you're going to have finished your Bible reading by then. And if you haven't, you won't eat until you finish the Bible reading. Because your soul is more important than your body. So, use your hunger, use your body to keep your soul healthy. Now the question I don't ask kids, but I often ask adults, I say, if you only eat as often as you read the Bible, where would you be physically? Now where are you spiritually? If you're struggling in your spiritual life, maybe that's why. You're starving your soul. They need to read the Bible. Kids need to read the Bible. Now, when the kid is too young, what do I do when the kid's too young? You know, he's barely in first grade. Ask your mom and dad to help you. Ask your mom and dad to help you by reading the Bible with you, for you. Often, mom and dad, not only will they help them, but they come to me and they say, Bob, thank you so much. We are reading the Bible every day because of you. I've had many a parent come to me and say, because of you, my son is reading the Bible every day. Or because of you, I'm reading the Bible to my son every day. Thank you so much, Bob. Thank you so much. So the reading the Bible is important because the Bible is food for your soul. There is no replacement. Reading a devotional is not a replacement for that. Listening to a TV, to a Christian radio station is not a replacement for that. You think about it. If your replacement for reading the Bible is listening to a Christian radio station, what you're equivalent to doing is you're saying, I'm going to eat ice cream, not food. Where would you be healthy-wise? So, you know, I mean, it has to be the actual Word of God. Not just some, you know, whenever, and I haven't heard Pastor Joseph's sermons, and I'm sure they're very good. And even when I speak, I know that all I'm giving you is milk. And you get to a certain age, milk's not good enough. Milk's not enough. You need meat. And the Bible says, meat is the Word of God. The difference between milk and meat is pre-digested. That's what I give you. That's what Pastor Joseph gives you. That's what the Christian radio station gives you. We all give you milk. But the only way you get meat is to take out your Bible and read it for yourself. That's what I teach the kids to do. Read one verse. For you, it's at least two chapters. Okay. Then G-R-O. O stands for often pray. Now let me ask you a question. And this is what I ask the kids, right? So let me ask you a question. If I invited you over to my house and you came to my door and I said, oh, hi, nice to see you. Come on in. And then I went about my business. Come mealtime, I said, okay, time, let's eat. And we ate. And then when the evening came, I'd say, well, been nice seeing you. Bye. Would you feel welcome? I have never yet had a kid say to me, yes, I would feel welcome. They always shake their heads and go, no, I wouldn't feel welcome. I said, then don't do that to Jesus. Jesus wants you to be his best friend. I say to the kids, and I'm saying it to you as well, it's not just for kids. Jesus wants, he wants to hear from you all day long. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. He wants you talking to him when you're happy. He wants you talking to him when you're sad. He wants you talking to him when you're worried. He wants you talking to him when you're up and having great victory. He wants to hear from you often. Not every night. Not every meal. Not when you're at church. He He wants to hear from you often. Often pray. I've had one or two people accuse me of just using the word often because that fits with the word grow, but that's not true. Okay, and then finally, grow, the last word in grow is W. Now, that's a word that's too big for kids, so I have to explain it. You know, you say W stands for witness. What is a witness? I don't know. Most kids will say, I don't know. That is a person who's called into court and asked to tell what he knows. He saw something. He saw a crime. He saw something going on. He knows something. He's seen something. And he's being asked to testify, to say what he knows. Speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Right? And God wants you to testify. He wants you to tell your friends. Notice I tell them they're friends. I don't say everybody. That's too big a burden for kids. They'll take that seriously. And I should take it seriously, but for kids it's just overwhelming. So I say, he wants you to tell your friends and relatives about Jesus. Tell them what Jesus did for you. And that's witnessing. And actually, I'm going to tell you this. Kids have many more open doors than we do for witnessing. I was just telling you just earlier. There was a girl. She went to Christian Youth in Action. She came home. Her Aunt Betty was there. Her Aunt Betty was a devout Catholic, a formal Catholic, I guess you'd say. You know, and she didn't want to hear this Protestantism. She didn't want to hear the plan of salvation. She had already told Christina's mother, don't you talk to me about what you believe. Christina comes home from Christian Youth in Action, and Christina's mother says, Christina, you want to tell, I'm sorry, it was Aunt. Christina, you want to tell Aunt Betty what you learned at camp? Christina turns to Aunt Betty and says, Aunt Betty, you want to hear what I learned at camp? Sure, Christina. Tell me what you learned at camp. Well, I learned about this book that tells a story, but it doesn't have any words. Do you know how it tells a story, but doesn't have any words? Does that sound familiar? She went through the wordless book. I'm not going to go through the whole thing with you. But she went through the wordless book with her Aunt Betty. And when she got to the clean page, she asked Aunt Betty, would you like to ask Jesus into your heart to forgive your sin and make you clean on the inside? And Aunt Betty, with tears in her eyes, said yes. Christina got to lead her Aunt Betty to the Lord that day. Her mother, if her mother had tried that, her Aunt Betty would have said, don't you push that stuff on me again. Right? Kids have open doors for witnessing. We know they're open to each other. My kids can witness with another neighborhood kid and just, you know, I already told you the story about Lynette leading her Buddhist friend to the Lord. Kids have wide open, they're open to the gospel. And they can just share it all over the place. We're all bound up with social rules. Oh, can't do that, can't do this, can't share it here, can't share it there. By the way, I'm getting off topic, but I was at a church. I was in Washington, D.C., and I had a chance to share the gospel at work. And this friend of mine came up to me and said, Bob, it's not fair. I said, what's not fair? She says, I have been in my job for over 3 years, and I've not had an opportunity to share the gospel. You've been here less than 3 months, and you've already had a chance to share the gospel. You know what I said to her? I said, the barrier is inside you. The barrier is not in your workplace. The barrier is in you. When you come to that point where sharing the gospel is as appropriate as talking about the weather, If in your heart and mind, if you can talk about the weather, you can talk about Jesus. When you come to that point, Betty, no, that wasn't Betty. I can't remember what her name was now. I just got the wrong name. Sorry. But if you, when you come to that point in your life where Jesus is just as valid as the weather, if it's not proper to talk about the weather, then maybe you shouldn't talk about Jesus. But otherwise, you can talk about Jesus. Then you'll get opportunities to witness. Within a week, maybe two, she'd had an opportunity to share the gospel. We went to the beach. She shared the gospel five times at the beach with total strangers. Why? Because the barrier was gone. Kids don't have that barrier. We have it as adults. They don't. So they just share the gospel openly and freely. And all we got to do is give them the wordless book, give them a tool that they can use, and they're going to go to town. They're going to share the gospel all over the place. So, now let's talk about, excuse me, I got to catch up on my notes here. Okay, let's talk about what do I do in terms of follow-up, right? Before the child leaves, what do I want to do? What do I need to do? Well, if you have one available, give them some literature, something they can take with them. There are wordless book tracks. There are children's tracks. I would suggest that your church have a supply of children's tracks always somewhere here in the church that any Christian worker, that any adult, that any child, that anybody that wants to share the gospel can come and pick up. It would be more than worth it to pay for those tracks. Just have them, I don't know, wherever you want to put them, but put them somewhere so anybody can get them. They can come and get them. We got, at our church, we got over 100 wordless book tracks. We got them both in Chinese and English. We're out of the English at the moment. I got to order some more. But we've got wordless book tracks with the wordless book. It's a little packet, and it's got a little tiny wordless book in it, and it's got a track that says exactly what the wordless book says. Goes through it. I suggest that your church should get a supply, and it would be worth it in your budget to just pay for those tracks. Don't charge people. Just put them out there. Let them have them. Let them go at it. Let them take those tracks. Share it with their friends and relatives. The impact it would have on your church growth would be just phenomenal. No, we do not. Our budget is just part of the church budget. Yeah, my wife is operating on my budget. I know where my budget came from. Okay. My pastor basically said to me, whatever we need. Bob, whatever we need. My pastor trusts me. And he wants to see our church grow. I have never been so completely trusted before in my life. Pastor Joseph knows him and knows what I mean when I say, Pastor Roy, just totally trust me. And when I came in to our church, I came in as the expert, and Pastor Roy just said to me, Bob, whatever you need. And I have held to that. I do whatever I need. I don't go extravagant. You know, I'm budgeting the funds that we spend on children's ministry responsibly. I'm not being a tightwad. At the same time, I'm spending the money on what will work and what is needed, which is exactly what Pastor Roy wants. So in terms of a pre-approved budget line item, no. In terms of have a budget, that budget's set by me, not by anybody else. So that's where it's at. Now, I don't know what your relationship or what your situation is in your church. I'm not going to pretend to dictate to you. All I'm saying is it is worth it to have tracts available at a children's level and even for adults. I mean, we have adults in our church taking those tracts and giving them to friends and relatives. Yeah, the return on those tracts is just, you know, it's penny wise and dollar foolish. No, we did not. Do we have some, Karen? I don't think so. We were going to stop and get them, but when we got here, it was already time. Next week. We will have them. I guarantee you we'll have them next week. We have, what I keep is I have a box, and everybody knows where that box is. I have a box of wordless book tracts in both English and Chinese. And that's just, that box is full of wordless book tracts. And I get them from Starkey Baptist Church. I just order them. And I get them, and when I check the box and it's out, which I checked it the other day, and it's out of English tracts, so I got to order another 100. But, you know, I just keep them in there, and people come and pick them up as they need them. But you should have tracts available. No, it's at the church. Yeah, it's always at the church. So, anyway, you should give them a tract, if possible, something written that the kid can take with. Now, there's two reasons why you want to do that, by the way. One of the most important reasons is, what did I tell you that kid's going to do when he goes home and tells his parents what you said? What do you know based on what I've told you? And if you work with kids very long, you know it based on experience. That kid's going to go home and tell his parents half of what you said. You hope it's the right half. Now, if you give him a paper, a tract, he takes that paper home, hands it to his parents, and tells them what he thought you said. They open that tract, and they see that what the kid said you said doesn't quite match what you gave out. You understand what I'm saying? So that tract is being given to that kid, not so much necessarily for the kid, but for the parent who's going to wonder what you told their kid. Another important reason for having those tracts. At a kid's level. By the way, that's an important thing. The tracts that we have in our church for free to anybody in the church are all at a children's level. Because adults can read those tracts. They get it. Right? But it's down there where that tract can be understood by just about anybody that can read. And that's well worth it. So if you're witnessing and you can, have a tract. Have a written piece of paper you can give to the child. Because his representation of what you said may not be accurate. So you give that to him. You give out the tract, and then you, let's see, where am I at? You have the child say a thank you prayer. Now, especially if that child, if you had to lead that child or they did a silent prayer, either one, if you had them pray silently to receive Jesus or if you walked him through it. Remember when Karen was talking about praying, she said if the child is timid, you can have him repeat after you. And if the child is too timid to even say it after you, could even have him say a silent prayer. You need to have him pray a prayer out loud before he leaves. Now, why? Let me give you a couple of reasons why. What is your purpose in leading that child to Christ? If I was going to introduce you to Karen, and I told you who she is, she's my wife, she's a wonderful woman, you really ought to get to know her. You should talk to her someday and walk away. Have I introduced you to her? Would you consider yourself introduced? Anybody? Yeah, you would? You really would. I wouldn't. Unless I take you over and say, Karen, this is Robert. Robert, this is Karen. And I let the two of you talk. right? Unless I do that, I haven't really, really introduced. I've told you about Karen, but I haven't really introduced you. Well, in the salvation process, what are we trying to do? Teach the kids about Jesus or introduce him to Jesus? You know, I asked a parent one day at CFC, I said, which would you rather have? If you're going to climb Mount Everest, which would you rather have? A map or a guide? He said a guide. I said, well, if we're going to teach our children properly, we need to introduce them to their guide, not give them a map. When you're teaching children, if you're always teaching them facts, 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 never person, person, then you're giving them a map. You're telling them how they ought to live, but not who's going to help them live it. I want to introduce the children to Jesus, that they might know him personally, that he might walk with them, and that they walk with him all the way through their life, because I know they're going to come to circumstances and they're going to have events in their life that I haven't given them an answer for. And Jesus is the only one that they can turn to. They might go home to hostile parents. They might go home like Karen did when she got home, and they might have their parents say, what? You did what? Can you take it back? Her parents, her mother said to her, Karen, don't you know that's a decision that will follow you all the days of your life? And Karen said, I hope so. Much to her mother's chagrin or disappointment. Her parents were after her to recant most of her life. And when they finally stopped trying to get her to recant, they just took it along. So you have to pray, the child pray out loud so that he has talked to Jesus. And you know he has before he leaves. And sometimes in that prayer, that out loud prayer, you will find something you messed up or he misunderstood, whichever. I'm not going to venture a guess as to which it was. Maybe you misstated it. Maybe he misunderstood. Doesn't matter. Comes to the same results either way. And you'll have a chance to clarify. So that's why you need to have that time of prayer where the child prays and thanks God for what Jesus has done. And then you pray for the child. You yourself should pray for that child so that he knows that he's being prayed for, that you care. Now, this last part used to be easy to do. It's getting harder and harder nowadays. It's getting a lot harder. Try and collect. Sorry, I'm behind. Try and collect information so that you can follow up on the child. In today's world, that's may be forbidden. If you can't, the child says, no, I can't give you my address. I can't give you, then you have to just back off and say, that's fine. And just pray for that child. It may be that that child is going to go out. But remember this. We serve the true and living God. God is not limited to you. God is not limited to me. And if you lead a child to Christ and you don't get the opportunity, you should take it if you have it. But if you don't get the opportunity, you can still pray for them. And you can know that God is with that child. And God's going to work in that child's life. Somebody else will come into that child's life. Some other opportunity. And God will work in that child's life so that that child can grow in Christ. You're not the one. God is the one who has the care of that child. Now, as their spiritual father or mother, you do have a responsibility to pray for them and encourage them all you can. But if you don't have that opportunity, commit them to the Lord, pray for them, but you may not have the chance to collect the information in today's world and be able to follow up. If you can, do. Are there any questions? Have you noticed at the end of each series we say, ask God for another child, you will never be done. This is a process. It's never done. You will never be done. You know, I heard somebody talking about golf, and he said it's the one game you can play, but you can never win. Witnessing is a a blessing, a blessed opportunity that never ends. It never ends. You're never done. There's always another one, another opportunity, which means I have another opportunity to have a fantastic experience of sharing Christ. It's never done. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, we just pray that you would bless us and each one of us might go out and share the gospel with those that we might take every open door you give us. We might share the gospel with as many people as we can because Jesus has died for them all. Help us be faithful in our studying. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we have finished our presentations for today. However, I got one more thing. What? Oh, well, let me give this assignment first. She's right. I missed.